1955.
Whew. We played this early every Saturday morning. I don't know how to get out of bed for the broadcast.
The McGuire Sisters.
The number
this
one
This can't
song.
Be what they mean when they talk about the good old days.
Yes, it is. The number one song, Valentine's Day week, 1955. The McGuire Sisters. Hot diggity dog.
Beautiful. I like that. I don't want to stop listening.
Yeah, there you go. That's a wonderful song.
It's good stuff.
Well, we're joined with John Eisenhower, Talking Trees, and before we get to the calls.
You know, I'm hearing so much about this 50 Shades of Grey junk stuff. We're going to be known as 50 Shades of Lily White.
There you go.
50 Shades of Lily White right here at Rosie on the House. We're looking for ideas for our fourth-hour broadcast. We'll be broadcasting from 7 to 11 every Saturday from this point forward. So if you've got an idea on what you'd like to hear on that fourth hour, there's no topic we won't consider.
We'll consider them all.
But right now in the 8 o'clock hour, we're always out in the garden. We're up in the trees here with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Romy, you've got callers there.
We do, but we were going to talk about...
I wanted to ask Greg another couple of questions about his vision for Phoenix. With the advent of so many community gardens around town, our church is putting in a nice community garden.
Nice.
As part of our, renovation project at our church, and it's exciting to see a lot of people want backyard food. They want to see this. Tell us a little bit about your vision.
Backyard and front yard.
Yeah.
I actually grow a majority of the food at the Urban Farm in our front yard.
Well, my son lives in Portland, Oregon, and they have a little space between the street and the sidewalk.
Right.
And all the neighbors plant
there you go.
Edible foods all along. So absolutely. You can go along and you can just take a little bit of fruit, food, and you can leave yours for your neighbors and everybody just share.
Nice. That's my thought. Is that
it's wasted space.
Right, exactly.
It's either bare or it's got some grass in there. But they're taking it out and putting edible food in there instead.
Yeah. Yeah, so, food grows for free. We should grow it and give it away. It should be growing everywhere. And really my vision for the Valley of the Sun is that we have food growing everywhere so that, there's food growing everywhere and good, healthy food. 15 years ago, I started teaching people about fruit trees. And it started small. And here I am 15 years later. And my goal 15 years ago was that I was going to plant 500 fruit trees in the ground. That was my job. I was going to figure out how to get 500 fruit trees actually planted in Phoenix, and I was going to manage them. Well, 200 trees into it, I realized how much work it really was. Mm-hmm. But then about that time, my friends started asking me. It's like, well, what about fruit trees for me? And now I run a program through the Urban Farm, and we'll sell over 3,000 fruit trees this year.
Wow.
Yeah. And they come. The fruit trees that we bring in come with education. That's really my first and foremost. Come and take a class from me. We do all kinds of classes at urbanfarm.org. Come and take a class. You can do it online. You can do it in person. And, help us get Phoenix planted out so that it's edible.
And Tucson.
I was going to say.
And Prescott. And Payson.
Every fall, you start sending out your order form so people can put in their orders to get their deciduous fruit trees. So about, the end of the year, they start coming in?
They actually arrive in January.
In January. Yeah. And then you distribute them and they can get them in the ground. It's great.
Yeah. Awesome. And the big thing first and foremost is get people educated.
And you do that, you'd mentioned a number of avenues that you do that, including, you hadn't mentioned Saturday, March 7th, you've got something pretty special coming up.
I'm really excited about that. That is our Phoenix Grow Your Own Food Summit. At growphx.com. We've got some excellent speakers. I'm going to be one of them. Kari Spencer, she's going to talk about her micro farm project and how that came to be. You guys have had her on the show before. She's great.
Pygmy goats.
Yeah, she does. She has goats, exactly. She's got goats and chickens and turkeys and rabbits, and she's into the backyard livestock. And then Bill McDorman is coming in. He's coming in from Idaho. He's an international seed saving guy. We're going to talk about that. And really one of my favorites is Jake Mace. He's got a third of an acre out in Tempe that he's turned into an oasis by adding wood chips. And he's had added over 100 cubic yards of wood chips to his backyard. Do you know how many much that is,
And by the way, we have wood chips that we generate from all of our tree work, And we have a waiting list of people who want wood chips. If you'd like wood chips, get on our website at itreeservice.com or call us anytime during the week and get on our list. And if we're in your area and we have a clean load of wood chips, mm-hmm. we'll make arrangements to drop it off to you.
Perfect. That or, is so.
And it's free. That's excellent. The good thing. That's we don't want to take those. We don't want to take those wood chips and dump them in the landfill.
Right.
We want to get them out into the neighborhoods and help to improve your soils.
Here's the thing. The quickest way to kill a tree is to put it in the middle of a yard with gravel mulch around it. You know, gravel mulch kills trees. Don't do it. Rake the mulch back, put a huge basin around it, and put 4 to 8 inches worth of wood chips in the basin, and you are going to have one happy tree.
It's great.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Starting with Gabe this hour, or this segment in Glendale. Welcome to the broadcast. How may we help you?
Good morning, gentlemen. So a couple of months ago, first off, I really am disappointed I'm not able to be there with you guys at Sanderson. They're just down the street, and every time I've gone in there, I've had good experiences with them. And it's been a long time since I've had a good crawfish boil. So I'm bummed that I can't
excuse?
Be there with you.
I can smell it.
I've got prior commitment down in Scottsdale. So anyway, so I called you guys a couple months ago because my wife and I lived in Orleans for a couple years, and we fell in love with the Satsuma fruit. And we were trying to find the Satsuma tree here in Arizona, and we thought, you know, if it can grow in New Orleans.
Did we lose you? Okay.
It looks like we did.
Well, I remember the call, and we did a little bit of follow-up research, and I believe it's Treeland and Mesa, the citrus grower, does carry Satsuma. And it is available. Do y'all have any experience with that citrus variety here?
No, I don't. It sounds like one of those trees that, like many others, that end up doing pretty darn well here.
Yeah,
you know,
citrus does great here. Evidenced by the amount of citrus that we grow here that just hangs on trees. So really, citrus, Arizona, and especially the low desert is a great place to grow citrus. You want to look for a warmer part. Piece on your property, you know, where's the warmer space, what we call in permaculture, what's the microclimate, so you're looking for a warmer microclimate for it. Again, the quickest way to make it grow really great is to plant the tree and then put a big basin around it, put wood chips in it. I'm a big proponent of that.
And it looks like we've got a connection back with Gabe.
Sorry, guys, I went underpass. So I actually finally found a Satsuma tree in Costco, but it was grown in, like, Central California. And so I'm worried about – we got it in the ground now, and I do have a basin around it, and I'm definitely going to put some wood chips in it now. So what else can I do this summer to make sure that it survives through our high heat?
Well, it's good that you've got it in the ground nice and early. You don't want to plant them in the middle of the summer because it should have a little bit of time to get some get rooted out into some of the native soil. You know, occasionally trees that are a little bit sensitive, if in very sunny areas, you might consider draping a little shade cloth over those younger trees in the very heat of the summer for a month or so. But generally, you know, citrus are pretty durable and enjoy a full sun.
Yeah.
Don't water. Don't water the leaves over 90.
Yeah, don't water the leaves.
I've heard the thought process and you're out there watering, you're trying to cool it down. That water can act like a magnifying glass and burn the tree.
Yeah.
Water the roots.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and also any salts in the water end up, being left behind on the leaf surface after the water's evaporated. So you don't want to be watering the top of your trees. Water around the base.
And while we're talking about watering, this is really important. People, a overwatered tree and an underwatered tree look the same. They both are wilty and dying. So, you know, people think, oh my gosh, my tree is looking wilty, I need to add more water to it. The problem is if we water it too much, and I tell people this, and it shocks people. You want to water your trees twice a month in the summer, in the warmer weather, and once a month in the winter. And people say, even the first year? I said, yes, even the first year. So overwatering can do a lot of damage to your trees. So every 2 weeks is great for fruit trees.
We always recommend watering to the full depth of the root zone and allowing that entire root zone, that entire root profile to dry out before you water again. You don't want to put water on top of water on top of water.
Exactly.
The roots require oxygen for cell metabolism to take place. So you've got to allow oxygen back into that root zone after you've hydrated the tree.
Yeah, and don't ever put trees on drip. You want to flood them.
If you can.
Now, I just finished spending 4 days down by Wilcox, and I'll bet you that there is a development down there south of Interstate 10 that's got to be, if it's an acre, it's 10,000 acres. Uh-huh. It is ginormous.
Apples?
And it's all one-year pecans.
Oh,
and they've got that entire thing on drip.
And, yeah, I would amend Greg's comments to say there are some really great innovations in drip irrigation. And if you have the right dispense rates,
yes,
and you have the right distribution of the emitter heads themselves, drip irrigation is a very effective way of watering. You need to have your trees on their own station, irrigation station, if at all possible, because then you can allow the station to run long enough to allow the depth of saturation that trees need. If trees are being watered on the same system that shrubs and flowers and ground cover are on that have very shallow roots, those get flooded if you water too long. So it ends up people back off on the watering and the trees get very shallow water.
Yeah.
So if you can water nice and deeply, drip irrigation is a great way to get water to your trees.
Yeah. They just need to get enough water.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll bet you it's been 25 years since I've eaten a satsuma. And I've been hungry for it ever since he called here 3 weeks ago.
Oh, well, we'll have to get out to Mesa and get you one.
Or when, for Gabe, when it starts making fruit, bring us some.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Let's go to Waddell and bring Charlene into the conversation and see what we can do to help her this Arizona Saturday morning at 1-888-767-4348. Charlene?
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, we have a grapefruit tree and a lemon tree that just has a proliferation of fruit on it. I know this time of year is the time to fertilize them, but do we want to fertilize them to produce more fruit, or is it just helping the tree?
Well, this time of year, it's not likely you'll be, increasing the size or the sweetness of the fruit, which is already on the tree. You know, you are generally improving the health of the tree when you're fertilizing. But the research shows that fall fertilization is the best time to be fertilizing trees in general, because they use the stored nutrients for that big spring push of growth. And sometimes if you're fertilizing in the spring and summer, you're kind of after the fact. And especially with fruit production, which is occurring from summer through the fall and into the winter, and that nice mature fruit that you have on your trees right now is pretty much established and, edible through the next few months. But, watering and fertilizing right now is probably a good thing to do if it's your seasonal time.
I tell people Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. And, the citrus fruit comes later in the year. The peaches and apples and grapes, pears, nectarines, figs, they all come earlier in the year.
Those three holidays are great. It's a good reminder. So today would be your first day, first application day.
Get out and fertilize.
Valentine's Day, get out there and do your fertilization. Follow label instructions.
We're live at Sanderson Ford, celebrating 60 years of Arizona family business here in Arizona. Come on by and say hello.